Translation and poem by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Narada said, O pious king, do not lament for anyone, for everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, all living beings and their leaders carry on worship to be protected. It is He only who brings them together and disperses them. Every living being, either in this material world or in the spiritual world, is under the control of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, beginning from Brahmaji, the leader of this universe, down to the insignificant ant. All are abiding by the order of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the constitutional position of the living being is subordination under the control of the Lord. The foolish living being, especially man, artificially rebels against the law of the Supreme and thus becomes chastised as an asura or law breaker. A living being is placed in a particular position by the order of the Supreme Lord, and he is again shifted from that place by the order of the Supreme Lord, or his authorized agents. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Maharaj Yudhishthir, or in modern history, Napoleon, Akbar, Alexander, Gandhi, Subhash, and Nehru, all are servants of the Lord, and they are placed in and removed from their respective positions by the supreme will of the Lord. None of them is independent, even though such men or leaders rebel so as not to recognize the supremacy of the Lord. They are put under still more rigorous laws of the material world by different miseries. Only the foolish man therefore says that there is no God. Maharaj Yudhishthir was being convinced of this naked truth because he was greatly overwhelmed by the sudden departure of his old uncle and aunt. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was placed in that position according to his past deeds. He had already suffered or enjoyed the benefits accrued to him in the past, but due to his good luck, somehow or other, he had a good younger brother, Vidura, and by his instruction, he left to achieve salvation by closing all accounts in the material world. Ordinarily, one cannot change the course of one's happiness and distress by plan. Everyone has to accept them as they come under the subtle arrangement of Kala, the invincible time. There is no use trying to counteract them. The best thing is therefore that one should endeavor to achieve salvation, and this prerogative is given only to man because of his developed condition of mental activities and intelligence. Only for man are there different Vedic instructions for attainment of salvation during the human form of existence. One who misuses this opportunity of advanced intelligence is verily condemned and put into different kinds of miseries, either in this present life or in the future. That is the way of the Supreme controls everyone. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Bacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we beg permission from all the assembled Vaishnavas to be able to speak something on this transcendental subject matter, although I'm not qualified. So, very interesting. This chapter is really, really unique. In this chapter, we're hearing so many amazing pastimes and activities of the Lord and His devotees. And here it's saying that Srila Prabhupada is saying that because Dhritarashtra, he had a good younger brother, you know, so that he was very, very fortunate. You know, apart from that, there wasn't really much going for him, you know. So, you know, I think he kind of, he really, you know, some people have this ability, they open their mouth and they put their foot in it, you know. But I think some people, they maybe end up on the wrong side and end up doing all the wrong things. So I think Dhritarashtra qualified for that, you know. But he was very, very fortunate because he had a younger brother, namely Vidura, who was a pure devotee of the Lord. So by somehow or other, by the association of Vidura, then Dhritarashtra was given the intelligence and the ability to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the remainder of his life he could make up for all the wrongdoings. You know? So anyway, this is very interesting. There's a lot of points in this verse and in the purport. So I think we could be here for a long time, but we'll just select a few things. So Prabhupada is saying here that Sri Narad said, "O pious king, do not lament for anyone." I think we've heard that before as well somewhere. Do not lament for anyone. It says that in the Gita, it says, "Do not lament for the living or the dead." Yeah. It says, "Na sochati na kanchati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param." So if one is situated in lamentation, or if one is situated in hankering, then one cannot be peaceful. You know? So he said, if I just get this thing, you know, then I'll be happy. You know? And or somebody's thinking, well, I just lost that. Now if I get that back, then I'll be happy. You know? So that means they're either thinking ahead, they're thinking that, oh, if I do this or if I get this, then I will be peaceful and I will be happy. And then the others are thinking, you know, whatever I've lost, you know, and they're lamenting, you know, if only I could have that back, then I will be peaceful and happy. But in that time, neither of them is happy or peaceful. So I heard Jananda Maharaj, he was speaking to one of his disciples, and he said, if you're not happy with what you have, you'll never be happy with whatever else you get. And it was a quite simple statement, but I thought it was very deep and very profound, you know. So very interesting that. So in order to become peaceful, to become satisfied, to become happy, and to be content, then one has to learn to accept whatever comes of its own accord, and whatever situation the Supreme Personality of Godhead puts one in. So here it's saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is, you know, putting so many controllers there, you know, like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and so many other, you know, modern day controllers there, you know. And then he can put them there, and he can also remove them, you know, at his will, you know. So I think the central point is that whatever is happening in our lives, if we can somehow or other, rather than become enamored by the situation or become disturbed by the situation, if we realize that I've been put into that situation by the will of the Lord, you know. So then in that situation, rather than complain about it or become too overjoyed about it, if one just tries to see that the hand of the Lord in that situation, then actually it's a great opportunity to be Krishna conscious. So Krishna conscious means to be conscious of Krishna, you know. So if anyone didn't know, you know. And so, yeah, but sometimes Prabhupada used to say that you have to be conscious before you can be Krishna conscious. You know? So that's quite an endeavor for some people also, you know. So it's like, so Krishna conscious means that whatever's happening with you in your life and whatever you see around you, that somehow you were able to connect that with Krishna. And if you're able to connect that with Krishna, that means you're conscious of Krishna and his presence in your life. Then even if it seems to be an adversity, even if it seems to be, you know, not exactly what you ordered or what you wanted, but you can still say, okay, well, because Krishna is there somewhere and it's his plan, so therefore I accept it, and therefore you can be peaceful. You know? Otherwise, you know, you think, well, you know, I'm such a good guy, you know, why is this happening to me, you know, and, you know, Krishna is being nice to the other person, what about me? You know? So, anyway, there was one congregation member, so he contacted me and he said, Prabhu, you know, I'm having a really difficult time, you know. You know, we love coming to the temple and we love coming to see the deities and we love to dance in kirtan and hear and associate with the devotees and we love taking prasadam. But now, you know, because of, COVID-19, you know, and all the lockdown, you know, we're so sad because we can't come to the temple and, you know, we find we're struggling. And so then I listened to him and I said to him, how long have you been coming to the temple? So he said, 10 years. I said, okay, that's very interesting. I said, Krishna's in your heart, you know, and Krishna is everywhere. He's in every atom. Andantaranu paramayanu chayantarastam. He's in every atom if you are able to perceive that he's there, you know. Just like electricity is in the atmosphere, in the air. So if you have an instrument, you can measure there's some electrical charge, you know, like that. So I said, your home, you know, you have a beautiful altar, you know, you have nice deities, you offer aarti, you're able to chant Hare Krishna, and you're able to read Srila Prabhupada's books and sing bhajans and take prasadam. So I said, in all that 10 years, what you've learned, now you have to put it into practice, you know. It's not that Krishna is only in the temple and is nowhere else, you know. There's one class of philosopher, they say that, you know, there's no need to go to the temple because Krishna is everywhere. They say that. So they say, I don't need to go to the temple. So I said to them, well, if you're saying Krishna is everywhere, I said, he's also in the temple, you know. So Krishna is actually everywhere if we want to perceive him, you know. So then I was telling this congregation member that actually now is the opportunity to put into practice all that you've learned in the last 10 years, you know. So, you know, be associate with Krishna, you know, chant nicely, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you know, offer your food, you know, worship the deities, read the books, you know, remember. And so he said, oh, wow, he said, oh, Prabhu, thanks so much, you know, that's like, wow, you know, that's really helped me, you know. So, like, there's one boy who used to ring me from Blackpool, I think some of you know him, Gauranga Nam, you know. So he was ring me up and said, Prabhu, you know, my mind is giving me hell and this and that, and this is not working and that, and so many other things are going wrong, you know. And I would listen to him for a while, and then I would say, okay, I said, Gauranga Nam, I said, you know what I'm going to tell you, right? He said, yes, Prabhu. So I said, whatever your problem was, whatever your problem is, and whatever your problem is going to be, you know, the solution is still the same. And what is that solution? Increase the level of your Krishna consciousness, you know. You know. So he said, yeah, Prabhu, I know you're going to tell me that. So I said, why did you ring me then? He said, well, it's nice to hear it again. So, you know, so they're fine, you know, so it's okay. It's good for me to repeat it again because I'm preaching to myself also, you know. So like that, so, you know, the mind comes up with so many different things, you know, and we come up with some really kind of, the mind, what's it called? It does some mental gymnastics, you know. So maybe because of the lockdown, we're not able to do as much exercise, so the mind can, you know, do more gymnastics, you know. But luckily, we're not the mind, and we're the eternal spirit soul, and we're the servant of Krishna. And as such, we can be happy when we are engaged in loving devotional service to Krishna under the guidance of the parampara, you know, the spiritual masters, the teachers. We are so fortunate, you know, to have all these teachings. There are other people who are going through so many miseries and so many difficulties, especially at this time in the world. There is so much havoc. People's lives are turned upside down, and it's a very sad situation. And we're always offering prayers to the Lord, you know, to help those souls and give them freedom from this distress, and give them knowledge and the process that brings them eternal happiness. You know? So devotee is always compassionate. He's always trying to uplift the situation of people that are less fortunate. So here it's explained that the Lord, Srisri Radha Gokulananda, we mentioned the Lord, so he's giving darshan. Srisri Radha Gokulananda ji ki jai, Srisri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Srisri Gaura Nitai ki jai. So Narad Muni is saying, O pious king, do not lament for anyone, you know, for everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord, you know, including us. You know? And then he says, therefore, all living beings and their leaders carry on their worship and be protected. It is only he who brings them together and disperses them. So he says, there's only one power that can beat all others, only one celestial force that can render all others useless, and only one unstoppable force that can never be controlled by humans. And that is the time factor. You know? You see, no matter how big you are, how strong you are, how rich you are, how famous you are, or how good-looking you are, or whatever, the time factor catches up with you. So there was some people in America, very wealthy people, so they were thinking that it's, I think it's called cryogenics, you know. So, yeah, so, I mean, when you hear what they do, then it's like you want to cry, you know. But they pay a lot of money to have their body put into liquid nitrogen and kept, you know, in a very cool place, you know. So they think that in years to come, when modern medicine and technology advances, then you can somebody will be able to defrost them and then, you know, give them some new medicine, and then they'll be off again, you know. But I think some of them were disappointed, because where they were being kept, they had a power cut, you know. So you can't trick the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you can't overcome the time factor, you know, like that. They say time and tide wait for no man or woman, for that matter. You know? So time is the representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know? Everyone is under the control of time. Mrityu sarvaschaham. How does it go? Yeah, Mrityu sarva harascham. So Krishna says, I am all devouring death. So, but when Krishna comes in that form of death, then he's not so readily acceptable. When he comes in the form of Rasgula, Mahaprasad, then he's very readily acceptable, you know, or halva, or whatever, puris, you know. But that's Krishna also, you know. Krishna comes in many forms, that's Krishna also. So for someone that's enlightened, then whatever form that Krishna comes in, they see him as Krishna, and they're willing to accept, you know. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, abhaya charanar avindam, then nothing to fear. So Srila Prabhupada, his name that his parents gave him was Abhaya Charanar Avinda. You know? So what does that mean? Anyone know?
Fearless.
Fearless, yeah. Abhaya means fearless. Who said that? Okay, right. Okay, yeah. She is quite fearless. So, Sharanaravinda, what does that mean? Yeah, so one who is fearless, having taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, you know. So that's a very appropriate name for Srila Prabhupada, because he was actually completely fearless and he had taken complete shelter of the Lord. So there's so many troubles in this world, and there's so many mad things that happen, and there's so many things to fear. But if one takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Abhaya Charanaravindam, then one becomes fearless. You know? So that's amazing. Because, people are worried about death, they're worried about disease, they're worried about losing financially, they're worried about, not getting the right partner, they're worried about being late for prasadam, they're worried about so many things, you know. But, there's so many kinds of fears and anxieties, you know. So even Prabhupada said, even the little bird, you throw some seeds out, and the bird is like pecking and he's looking around, like that, you know. Who's going to get me, you know. So much fear, you know. So life is full of fear unless one takes shelter of the personality of Godhead, who awards fearlessness. You know? So the time factor is enforcing the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada, he was fearless and he did his duty regardless of external circumstances, whether they were favorable or unfavorable. So that's a really powerful thing, because sometimes, say, oh, we've got some duty to do, and we'll say, oh, well, if it's something I like doing, I'll do it, Or if the weather's nice, I'll do the car park duty. But if it's raining or snowing, you think, well, I'd rather, just polish some of the deity paraphernalia, or do something else. So what does duty mean? Duty means that you do something which has been given to you for the satisfaction of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, he was very duty-bound. And then I found a really interesting 2-minute clip of Srila Prabhupada speaking. And I told Nishkinchana Prabhu, and I wanted to share it with you. And this is from 1966 in New York, and it's really early days, and there's only a few people there. And when you hear Srila Prabhupada speak about his just doing his duty and his mood, and it's like really it's powerful. So I'll just play that for you. Sorry, wrong one.
Now I'm practicing. Now here I'm sitting in New York, the very great, the world's greatest city, so magnificent city. But my heart is always hankering after the Vrindavan. Yes. I'm not happy yet. I shall be very happy to return to my Vrindavan, that sacred place. But then why you are? No, because it is my duty. I have brought some message for you people, because I am ordered by superior, my spiritual master, that whatever you have learned, you should go to the Western country and you must distribute this knowledge. So in spite of all my difficulties, all my inconveniences, I am here because I am in duty. That is my personal convenience. If I go and sit down at Vrindavan, I shall be very comfortable there, and I will have no anxiety, nothing of the sort, you see. But I have taken all the risks in the old age, because I am in duty bound. So I have to execute my duty in spite of all my inconveniences. That is the idea. So, this is the whole thing. The whole basic principle of spiritual advancement of knowledge. One soon must be convinced that he is not this body.
Okay, just a short clip there, and very interesting. What did you get from that? Any comments? Anyone? Sorry? Oh, yeah. Okay, you didn't understand, eh? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada was saying, okay, you want to remember? Yeah. Speak it loud so they can hear.
Even though he was, you know, he was having such a spiritually and nourishing time in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
But, and he could have stayed then, he was happy to stay there.
Yeah.
But because his Guru Maharaj told him that he needs to spread this knowledge to the Western countries, so the duty took precedence over his own, even spiritual comfort.
Yeah.
So that's something that we can learn from that. You know, some duty often goes before our own personal, you know, sort of happiness or comfort and things like that.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, so very nice. So, yeah, exactly. He said, I'm not happy here in New York, the world's greatest city. He said, I'll be very happy in my Vrindavan, very comfortable. So anyway, he wasn't happy to...
No, I just want to say, it reminded me of, you know, recently a comment was made, Sridharma Prabhu, he said that don't try to be happy, just try to serve.
Was it amazing, yeah. And actually, a funny thing is that if you're looking to be happy, then you don't become happy. But if you try and serve, if you serve the Vaishnavas, you serve Krishna, then you automatically become happy. So, you know that verse, 7th canto, is that one is happy until one endeavors for happiness, and from that point one's misery begins. So rather than try to look for happiness and try and see God, we should work in such a way that that God will want to see us, and when he looks at us, then we'll become happy. You know? So it works a slightly different way, you know. So some very interesting. I thought it was like, it just captured that mood of Prabhupada kind of revealing that I don't really want to be here in the middle of New York, you know. I'd rather be in Vrindavan, but my spiritual masters asked me, and therefore I'm doing it, you know. So, and at a very advanced age, you know. So one devotee, he told me, a Prabhupada disciple, he said that he had, you know, Prabhupada went through so many austerities, he gave up everything, he's 70 years old, he traveled to, India and on the Jaladuta with only 40 rupees, and he had two heart attacks on the way, and, you know, he didn't know anyone there, and so many difficulties. He said, and I thought, yeah, he went through a lot of difficulty. He said, but when I reached 70 years old, this devotee said, then when I... It took me, you know, when I realized what the condition of the body is, even to go to the shops to get your, you know, whatever, vegetables and come back, you know, and to be austerity, to what to speak, to go to the other side of the world and start a whole revolutionary Krishna conscious movement. He said, I realized Prabhupada went through difficulty. He said, but I didn't realize what it really meant until I reached 70 years old, you know. Then it really hit me, you know. So he was saying like that. So, anyway, I'm just going to... I've got a couple of other things here. So, I met this one... me and Radha Govinda were sitting in the Prasadam room one day, and then it was Sunday evening, you know, so a lot of people coming. This gentleman, this young man came with his father, and they sat down opposite. And I was just talking to Radha Govinda. So this young man, he says to me... He looked a bit cocky, a bit arrogant, you know, so he... He said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, sure, you can ask me a question. He said, why do you, you know, Hare Krishna, why do you force people to do this and tell them not to do that and this and that, you know, why do you force people? I was like, what? You know, I was just like, I was taking prasadam and suddenly out of the blue, why do you force people? So I was thinking, well, and then I said, well, did we force you to come here today? You know? He said, no. I said, did we force you to take that plate of prasad? He said, no. So, I thought, like, he's a bit strange out of the blue, you know. He said, because he had a chip on his shoulder or something, you know. Then he said, but, you know, you make people do things and this and that. You make them follow rules and regulations and things. So then I said, do you drive? He goes, yes. I said, do you follow the highway code? He said, yes. I said, why do you do that? He said, well, you know, you get fined if you don't, and also it causes disruption and it's not good, you know. I said, so you're following rules and regulations, you know. I said, the rules and regulations, for example, like the highway code, are there for the benefit of you and other road users and pedestrians. So you stop at a zebra crossing, you stop at a, at a red light, or you know, you drive on the left side, or you decide that you want to drive it anywhere, wherever you want. Other people may decide they want to drive out anywhere they want. Then you'll end up in an accident. So the rules are there for everyone's benefit, you know. So therefore, we have rules and regulations, but we're not, you know, trying to make people's life more difficult than it already is. The rules and regulations are there to help them so they don't have accidents, you know. Then he goes, oh, okay, then. And then he goes, then he says, I don't agree with some of the things in the Gita. I thought, oh, he's a real, and his father was there looking so embarrassed, you know. So I said, you don't agree with some things in the Gita? And I thought, oh, no, here we go. But then I just, something in me said, if you don't mind me asking, have you read the Gita? And he said, no. So I thought, you know, if you've got some comment about J.K. Rowling's latest book, but you haven't even read it, you know what people will say? They'll say you're a fool. So I said, you know, by all means, you know, go next door in the reception and buy a Bhagavad Gita and read it. And if you have some questions, bring them to us, you know. But, you know. So, anyway, I just got a Sankirtan story. There was we were talking about Maharaj Yudhishthira telling the truth, you know, and things like that. So I just remembered something. I was on Sankirtan in Scotland, and then, you know, this lady came up to me, and Scottish lady, you know, and she said, I said, we're monks, we do a lot of nice work, and here's some books, you can give a donation to help us with our projects. And she said, do you help the homeless? So in Scotland at that time, we didn't have a particular project for homeless. But then I was thinking, well, if I say we don't help the homeless, she's just going to clear off and not do any service. So then I thought, okay, I said to her, madam, we do even better than that. She said, what do you mean? I said, we even help the hopeless, you know? I said, I'm not sure whether you're aware, but there's a lot of hopeless people out there, you know? They have no hope whatsoever. We even help them, you know? And one devotee, what he used to say, he said, we help the Omless. Om means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So people who have lost their connection with Om, they're helping them reconnect. The Omless. Of course, some people are aimless, you know. So we're trying to give them the right aim as well, you know. So anyway, when you're on Sankirtan, you can have some fun as well. And also, you have to say the truth, but at the same time, you know, you try and do it in a way that you don't put people off, or you can engage people, you know. And then one person said to me, he said, I don't give money to organized religions when I was on Sankirtan. I said, you're safe with us. You're very safe with us. We are totally disorganized, you know. And the fact that this movement is still going on means that there must be a God. So anyway, okay, so time's gone on, so I think I'll stop there, and if anyone has any comments or questions or any criticisms, they can.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. So about Prabhupada's fearlessness, when I was 20, I was at university, I went to some hippie festival, and I met this, I met a child soldier. I met someone from Uganda. He'd been at 5 years old given a AK-47, and he was told that he had to shoot people, you know. And then
He was in the military?
He was Joseph Kony. He was in Uganda. He was collecting lots of children and making them into an army.
Oh.
Yeah, so anyway, this boy, who was a man then by that time, but he had, his father had been involved in a coup to overthrow Idi Amin Dada, and he was then overthrown by Museveni, today's president. So this boy was, he was actually a rapper. He would rap about it, you know, and anyway, so But he'd come from a food. His father had left Uganda, put him in a. His father had left Uganda, come here, and left him and his siblings in a food aid camp. There was four siblings, and they were five, six, not very old. And he somehow or another he made his way to UK. He by selling cakes. He made cakes, he sold cakes, and he got his airline ticket. And he ended up here, and he had to go into a juvenile facility. He was in prison, basically, because he didn't have a visa or whatever. And so they made him go into this juvenile prison. And I met him, and then... Anyway, it was difficult. He had trauma, and was very traumatized by that situation. But he taught me so many things about being fearless. When you're given a gun... At the age of five, actually, he was given a gun and told, by his father, hold this gun, and if Museveni moves, shoot him. So you can imagine what type of amount of fearlessness that takes. So anyway, I just felt like saying something about this because it fits in with Prabhupada's sacrifice, you know. And so that you know, many times we don't really realize our own spiritual strength and how deep our resourcefulness can be. But just in these times, like when difficulty, we can imagine we're having a little bit of austerity or difficulty, but actually some people in this planet have been through so many worse things and we can draw on their experiences to gain spiritual strength. So I just really wanted to say this at this time, like especially now we're thinking about looking ahead to what could happen in the future. Prabhupada was so aware and so many classes and books, he's emphasized this time and time again that civilization will collapse, as we know it will collapse, and we have to be prepared to lead the society in self-sufficiency and how, teach them how to chant Hare Krishna. But so I really felt like just it kind of draws it all together to look now and evaluate this a little bit more, like how much of our resourcefulness can we pull out of ourselves to do this, to fulfill this for Prabhupada. And actually, if we don't, we're failing Prabhupada, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I was looking at Shivaram Maharaj, what he's been doing in Hungary, and then I'm wondering how far behind we are and how much we need to do to get to that point where we're actually self-sufficient and able to lead the local people or the communities around us in self-sufficient life. I mean, Shivaram Maharaj has enough trees. After 13 years, he'll be completely self-sufficient in power. So if central government pulls our supplies of oil or gas or electricity or all three, how are we going to cope with that? And so I just really felt like at this moment, I really felt like drawing on those resources myself, like for spiritual strength to realize that actually we can do so many more things than we think we can sometimes, you know?
Yeah, thank you very much for your comment. I think you're right. We have to come out of our comfort zone and we have to prepare because the world may not always be peaceful and nice and the supermarket shelves may not always be full. So somehow or other, we have to find devotees that are inspired and have ability in areas and they can lead, you know. And we have to look for those devotees and encourage the leaders to also help us in that regard. Thank you very much. I think we better stop now because it's going on, isn't it? Okay, you want one more? Okay.
Thank you for the points, Prabhu. You said at the beginning of the class we have to be conscious before becoming Krishna conscious. So can you just elaborate what does it mean, this first conscious?
So to be conscious means that you are a normal human being and you are aware of who's around you and your surroundings and you act in a way that is not self-centered and it's in a way that also is actually not disturbing others, you know. So like, for example, if you, whatever place you use, you leave it clean, you know, like that. And if you say you'll do something, you do it, you know. And just normal things. I mean, like even some karmis, you know, they're not particularly spiritual, but, you know, they're very conscious and they do things nicely. So a devotee, Prabhupada said, a devotee is a gentleman, you know. And then when we have that, it's called mode of goodness, then from there, then the transcendental platform is very easily attainable.
So it's like being Krishna, being conscious of others, and then being conscious of Krishna.
Yeah, you have to do everything nicely. You know, you have to do everything nicely, and think that we're not the only person on the planet. There are other people here, so we have to keep in mind, you know, if what we're doing, whether it's disturbing them or affecting them or not. You know, so we have to do everything nicely and be pleasing to Guru and Krishna and rise to the mode of goodness. That's called being conscious. You know? Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Sarav Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande.